Good morning. Welcome to Spring Valley Bible Church, the study of the Word of God this morning. We're going to be in 1 John. But first, we're going to pray together, and then we'll worship together in song, and then we have some announcements. But let's go ahead and start open this morning in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for a beautiful day, to wake up this morning to sunshine and cool weather, and what an awesome morning that you have given us. And we thank you for the opportunity to be here together, to come together to worship, to fellowship, to study your word. And Father, as we go through the service this morning, we just ask that you'll open our hearts to the truth, that your spirit will be with us this morning, and that the words that are spoken will be glorifying to you and edifying to us. And Father, we just ask for your spirit to be in all of these things. And we thank you for who you are and all that you do for us. We thank you for the freedom that we enjoy in this country as we celebrate Veterans Day and those men and women who have served to protect freedom. Father, you are the one who provides freedom, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for allowing us to be in a country that we can come together and worship together and freely enjoy the study of the Word of God. And we thank you for these things. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to sing this morning. Brian and Julie are not here this morning, so we are going to see if we can figure all this technology out between the minions. Julie's minions are going to see if we can. So we're going to open your hymnals, if you would, to 4:30. We're going to sing "The Old Rugged Cross." And I'm going to go off mute, but I'll stand up in front. Awesome. Thank you very much. I'm going to ask Phil to come up and do some announcements for us. And let me see if I can give this thing to you. Give me a second. Nah, that doesn't sound comfortable at all. Let's see if I can get this thing off. I should have thought about that. Will you grab my shoulder? There you go.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Awesome.
How many is that? How many assistant pastors does it take to do an announcement? Let's see. I am dressed up. It's just that I'm dressed up for the festivities this afternoon in the park. Okay. I did want to get in and make some announcements. Of course, we have the Veterans Day salute in Celebration Park in Allen, not too far away if you've got a chance. It's going to be a beautiful afternoon, about 55 degrees and brisk. Wear a sweater, but we've got the crew. Yes, 3 o'clock. Starts at 3 o'clock. Yeah. And let's see. We have poinsettias being delivered this week, aren't they, Patricia?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So if you have ordered a poinsettia, you might tell that. Then we need to be sure you get your poinsettia between the time of delivery, which is probably Thursday, as soon as ASAP.
Okay.
Whoever sold you the poinsettia, or if you want to come to my house, however you want to do it.
Okay. All right.
And if you didn't pay at the time of purchase, please pay when you
order.
Yeah, these are not free poinsettias, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, yeah, right. Yeah, and we can bring a carload of them next Sunday if you have to, but we need to. We've got limited garage space to store all these poinsettias. Yeah. All right. Let's see. And any other activities, fundraisers going on for the youth group? Yes, ma'am.
We're taking collections for gift cards for our sophomores through seniors in college. We'll be packing freshman boxes, and we'll take care of that at the Wise Home and the Dake Home with the moms of the freshmen. But we are, anyone that would like to donate, if you're led, we just divide that up and do gift cards for encouragement. Phyllis, with the cards that Phyllis made for Christmas, and just let those guys and girls know that we're praying for them and give them encouragement. And also, if y'all that are here, if you haven't signed any of the cards, make sure to do that so we can get the veterans cards and the Christmas cards out.
Yeah.
Yep. We have cards all over the place back here. Stop by anytime.
Lots of cards.
Sign them.
Remind us the deadline for that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Those will be mailed out the Tuesday after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So,
not the veterans cards, the Christmas cards.
Both.
Oh, both. Okay.
The veterans cards will go out later, but that gives us a chance to get all the cards signed and all those things. So. Sunday after Thanksgiving, if we could get that all done by then and get those donations out.
Okay, awesome.
Sunday after Thanksgiving, donations all in on the college kids, right? The freshman college kids get a care box, and everybody else is getting a card, and the veterans get a card.
Right.
Yeah.
And we do that online. We just. Is there a way to earmark it?
Yeah, as far as donations go, you can still. When you click on the contributions button and get the PayPal donations link, you can designate what it's for. Whether it's just leave it blank and it's just going to go to our general fund, but you can designate for Reese Lee Family Ministry, our missionary of the month, and you can designate for Liberty Youth Group in general, or you can say poinsettias or whatever you need to on there.
College grads.
Okay. And, it would help if you would designate that you're giving for college grads instead of just Liberty Youth Ministries in general. That would help our accounting a lot. And let's see. Any others that I've forgotten?
As far as just general announcements go, please come to the park if you can get the opportunity this afternoon.
Let's see. And come prayerful. Come filled with the Spirit and come ready to talk to anybody because we always draw curiosity seekers, and it's always an opportunity to give them the gospel. And so we need you there for that, if nothing else. Even if you didn't care, everybody does care about our veterans, but that would be an awesome opportunity for you in witnessing as people gather around to say, "What's that music about? What's going on over here?" We can tell them. We're here as believers to celebrate the freedom we have in Christ and the freedom that we have in our country from the work of our veterans. Okay, so let's see. It's offertory. We've mentioned the how to give for the church, our missionary of the month, or the Reese Lee Family Ministry, and we are not going to pass a plate this morning. We're just going to put the plate in the foyer on the table. If you have a donation to make in person, you can just drop it in there after the service is done. See, we have to truncate everything when Brian and Julie can't make it. Yeah.
If we have a donation for Ridley's today, can we just give it to you, or do you want it in the plates?
Just put it in the plates. Yeah.
As long as it's marked.
Okay. The others? Well,
Riesling's on the cash.
Yeah, put Riesling's on the four.
$100 bill.
Oh, no, yeah, okay. So, the main reason that I've asked to do the announcements this morning is I got a call and update from Judith today, early this morning. And they have met with doctors reviewing all of his information incoming. And at first, Herman was saying, no, I'm not going to have any kind of surgery on this. We'll just wait and see what happens next. But the neurologist that they met with told him that if his brain bleed just continues, slow drip of a brain bleed continues, it's going to become progressively worse and worse and worse until it's all over. And that he thought, even though that this is a very risky surgery, they are going to go in, they're going to close off the brain bleed permanently, and they're going to clean up some of the blood and mess that's going on there. And they hope the result of this, the best case scenario really, is that he will stabilize, that he will continue to be about a little bit better than he is as far as his mobility and speaking goes. He continues to do physical therapy and speech therapy at home a couple of times a week. And this surgery is probably going to be happening within the first 2 weeks of December. Okay. Now, I am not a brain surgeon, but if you have any questions about that, I can tell you whatever she told me. But that's pretty much the whole gist of it right there. And the prayers, not only for his surgery and the success of that surgery, but the ordeal of all that he's going through. Take a brilliant mind like that and lock it away so that it can't express itself is a hard, hard thing to bear. And just pray for his endurance, as well as Judas as they go through this. And hopefully one day we'll at least be able to see him in a smiling face in the back of our church here again. Okay. Until then, we're going to do everything that we can to come together to study the Word of God. We've got some well-qualified teachers of the Word of God here. And hopefully you're being encouraged in your daily walk through all that's coming out of this church. This is still Herman's ministry. This is still Herman talking. Because we all go to the same source of God the Holy Spirit. And we see the results of that all the time. That God the Holy Spirit will choose to use the exact same verse for me as he gave to Kit or Chris, when there was no collusion or planning on that whatsoever. It's amazing. And we always see that as a mark of approval that we're all together, that we're in this together, and that God the Holy Spirit is working through all of us. And that includes all of you guys out there. So please be in prayer for our pastor and his wife as we continue. Elijah was his name? What was the young man that you asked for prayer for?
Grayson.
Grayson. Any news or updates on Grayson?
I'm just texting with Crystal, his mom, throughout the week, and she just said he's doing okay, he's talking, he's seeking help. I don't have any details, just I've told her that we're in prayer for their family and for Grayson and for her and for Victor, his brother.
Yeah. So. Okay. Grayson and Victor. And any other prayer requests? Good. All right. Let me pray for us for these in our offertory this morning.
Yes, ma'am. Before you do that, would you give everybody an idea of what you're thinking to do a little bit? Like you're going to have a meeting and we're going to...
Yeah, I actually found the old Constitution, but I'd already rewritten it for the most part. So I'm going to shuffle those together. And we've got our... Kit and Chris and Doc and Jeff and maybe the Coopers sit down and look over this, and I've talked to Herman about it if I get that opportunity. We will be having a congregational meeting so that everybody sees the operating document that we have in place right now. okay? And it's, like I said, it's all going forward with Herman's approval, and this is not a coup d'etat in any way. And we just want you, we need this document for our legal paperwork for the state, and so we're going to get this in place and approved, and you will have a chance to see it in advance, and we will have a congregational meeting to vote on that as well, okay? All right? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this, again, for this beautiful morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your grace which pursues us. Each and every difficulty that comes our way, we know that you have a grace solution for it. And we know that's true because you found a way of the greatest barrier between us that ever could exist, and that's our unrighteousness. And you found a way to send your Son in perfect humanity that he could pay the price of that unrighteousness and give us that relationship with you that is so secure and that is forever, Heavenly Father. That we know that we will always have a relationship with you, as will those we love and those we pray for. Heavenly Father, help us to guide them as they face their hardships and keep their eyes on you. Help us, Heavenly Father, to encourage one another and keep our pastor in prayer, Heavenly Father, that you might heal him and guide his doctors, and that this delicate surgery might go to the best possible result, Heavenly Father. We pray for Judas' perseverance. We pray, Heavenly Father, for all those on our prayer list, and we ask that they be blessed, that they may taste your grace, Heavenly Father, and want more of it, and they find it all there in the cross. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the time to study your word this morning. Pray your Spirit speaks in Chris and for the edification of our local body. We ask all these things in Christ's name, sir. Amen. All right.
Do I need to remove any articles of clothing before we...
Wow, that shows up well on the internet. We'll see how that turns out. We'll just leave it on the outside of the jacket today. What a way to start. So I was planning on moving a little further last week through the 1 John and ended up stopping somewhere around 1 John 3:9 and picked it up from there, which actually worked out really well because last week my intention was to have some conversations around love one another. Not just have some conversations, to teach what 1 John says about love one another. And and as we were entering into an election, and I thought, you know, when God said, all right, stop right here and go ahead and do the communion service and then pick it up from there today, I thought, wow, I'm glad he's in charge. Because I think the message is probably every bit as appropriate today as it was last week. That's needless to say, but with regards to the election and all that's going on there. So we're going to be talking about love one another today. And so if you would pray with me for a moment to get ready for our study. Heavenly Father, we take a moment to test ourselves, to see if we are trusting you, if we are trusting your Spirit. Are we walking with you, abiding in you, so that we can open our hearts to the truth? Father, we want to know you. We want to love you, and you command us to love one another. And in doing so, in abiding in you, in trusting you, you produce the fruit of love through us. And we thank you for that, and we seek that, and we love you for that. And so we open our hearts this morning to your word, and we just ask that you'll fill it full. In Christ's name, amen. Sometimes when I get into a passage, and I've, you know, over the 20 years I've been with studying under Pastor Maddox, there's been more than one time where I got to the end of a book that we had spent, you know, 3.5 years studying, and I had to go back to the first chapter and go, where did this start? So I don't want to do that with 1 John. So I'm going to I keep going back. You'll see that I like to go back and summarize a few things either from the last time or summarizing things in general. So I wanted to take a couple of minutes so we don't lose the main points of First John, but I just couldn't talk about First John 3 so far. So it actually references back to 1 John 2:28 and 29. And just some main points. We don't want to be ashamed before Christ when he returns. He's talking about believers, right? So when at the judgment seat of Christ, we don't want to be ashamed before him. We can be ashamed before Christ at the judgment seat of How horrible that would that be? We're still saved. How wonderful is that? Eternal security. Thank you, Kit, for teaching on that this morning. If you didn't see that commercial, please watch. Please go online and watch that. You'll find some of those things that we talk about today will be tied right into what Kit taught this morning. So we don't want to be ashamed before Christ when he returns. So we need to abide in him. He is righteous, and only those who are in him can be righteous, because we are born of him. We are born again. We are born with a new nature. The unbeliever cannot be righteous. They're living in their own righteousness, self-righteousness or otherwise. They cannot be righteous because they do not have God in them. Because of God's love, we can be born again and be children of God. Understanding this love and having the hope of seeing Christ in his whole glory should motivate us to live our lives abiding in Christ. We can, as believers, choose a life of sin, but then we are acting like the children of the devil, the children of the world, living in our old nature, and that nature lives in darkness. But we are to live our lives in the light, in our new nature, living a righteous life as children of God. And so we're going to pick it up in 1 John 3:10, and we're going to move along today. I didn't have any idea when I started this that it was going to take like 10 weeks to get through four chapters in 1 John. Thank you, Pastor Maddox, for your amazing mentorship. 1 John 3:10, and it starts by saying, "By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother and sister." All of the new versions make sure that we include both brothers and sisters, but we all know that it's the same, the brethren. So in this particular case, I did want to make one caveat, because I had a conversation last week after I was teaching. I do change versions as I'm going through here, right? So sometimes I'm in the NASB, sometimes I'm in the NIV, sometimes I even go to the New King James Version, which there are places where that's really cool too. So I don't always call it out. I would if you saw my notes, but so if it feels like I move around a little bit in the versions, it's the same thing. It's the Bible, but sometimes I take those things and the wording is slightly different and makes it a little easier to understand. So please don't be discouraged if you're like, "Man, what version of the Bible is he teaching from? This is driving me crazy." Yes, ma'am. Did somebody have a question?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Is that because the original languages is better in the translation you pick? Or do you...
So, as I'm understanding what they're saying, there are certain verses, there are certain versions that are clearer in what it's saying. I do not go as nearly as deep into the Greek, just because I can't. But that's why I do that, is sometimes the way it is said makes more sense in the... In certain versions. Is that reasonable? Confusing? All right, cool. Hopefully it's reasonable, because that's what I do. Lord, please let your Spirit speak through me and not be concerned with which version it is. So, but I did want to make sure that I called that out, because it has been brought to my attention that it can be confusing. 1 John 3:10, let me start over. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother or sister. John is creating an extreme contrast between those abiding in God and those living apart from God, which is abiding in the devil. He spoke to that earlier in this chapter. A child of God abiding in God is living in righteousness. We are living in our nature. We are abiding in Christ, walking in the light, filled with the Spirit. We are living as children of God. We are living in our new nature. When we are abiding in the Lord, we will have a hatred for sin and a continual resistance to sin. It's when we go into our own will, into our own temptations, that sin is born out of us. We should be hyper aware of when we have broken fellowship with God and immediately recognize our sin. Turning away from our sin will, turn away from our own will and return to faith in the Spirit. When we are living in our old nature, we become comfortable with sin. We begin to lose the contrast between sin and righteousness in our life. We become apathetic to sin. It is not the big sins or living in overt sin that breaks our fellowship with God. It is all sin. Small, medium, large, socially acceptable, or abhorrent sins. It is anything not done in faith in God. It breaks our fellowship. And when we justify ourselves with the socially acceptable sins, and this is all leading up to love one another, but when we justify ourselves with the socially acceptable sins, and we kind of put off those, hey, well, I don't really do those really big bad ones, we're fooling ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. And so how does this living in sin contrast to abiding in Christ and abiding, how does this contrast of abiding in Christ and abiding in the devil manifest itself? Most notably in love. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, not abiding in God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Spiritual love we're speaking of. Spiritual love is righteousness in action. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we are to love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And for what reason did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil, but his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Christians are commanded to love one another, to love other believers. This is not conditional. This is not if we like them or if they've helped us, then we will love them. We are not to act like the children of the devil, which has gone on since the very beginning. And this is talking going back to the reference of Cain. We are not to be jealous of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are not to cover our own sin by rationalizing or taking our guilt out on others. Our sin, our relationship with God, our own actions are just that. They are ours, and we are accountable to God for them. We don't get to justify self-justification, self-rationalization. My sins aren't as bad as theirs. That's not loving one another. The world is of the devil, and they do not have spiritual love. So we should not be surprised that they hate us, or each other for that matter. We as believers should understand that we will be hated by unbelievers. It is to be expected since they don't have spiritual love. How can somebody void of love, God is love, actually love someone else? They can't. So why would we ever be surprised? This is in response. This is the way we should act towards the world and the way we should act towards one another. We should never be surprised that we're hated by the world. When we are producing love, love for one another, and even for that matter, love for unbelievers, they're going to hate us. They're going to be jealous of us. They're not going to understand the hope that we have unless we share it with them. They don't have love to spiritual love that they can produce. And we see this in our society today. Our society is so full of hate. The sad part is that it's both Christians and non-Christians that are spewing hatred. It's not just, I mean, if it was just the world, if it was just like unbelievers, if it was just the Satan worshipers, if it was the agnostics, it was the atheists, it was all of them running around spewing hate, we'd all stand back and look at each other and go, eh, I feel for them. I feel sorry for them. But it's not. How much hatred is spewing out of the church? The Christian living in the Spirit, abiding in Christ, is going to be a light. We're going to demonstrate God's love to the world, who will be convicted by it. That's part of why they hate us. But isn't that what we are called to do? The election just happened. For months, we have been inundated with commercials and speeches spewing hate about each other, about other candidates. Have you ever noticed that no matter who you ask, which side of the aisle that they are on, it's always the other candidate who's an idiot? And that's the nice way that it's put today. So now that we're in limbo about the winners, we should expect another several months of spewing hatred about people. Y'all, this hatred is spewing from people proclaiming to be followers of Christ. I hope it's not us. The question is it spewing out of you? Are you so caught up in the politics of this country, the so politics of the world, that we stopped trusting that God is in control? If somebody who is a horrible candidate is put into the winner's bracket and is becomes our politician, it's because God allowed it to happen. And it is not for us to tear them down. It is not for us to spew hatred about them. It is for us to love one another. Have we so placed our trust in the candidates to fix our nation that we will win at all costs? That we will give up our own love for one another in order to put somebody else into a political position? That's the question we all have to deal with. And I picked that one because, man, politics is a cutthroat, nasty endeavor. I can't imagine for a minute being in the middle of that. So I pray for those who are. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers and sisters. The one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. In contrast to the world hating us as Christians, we know that we are followers of Christ because we love our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you go back to John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And we should probably all have that one memorized. If not, memorize it, all right? John 13:35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Death and life are two opposite spheres of existence. When we are showing spiritual love, we are demonstrating the dramatic change in who we are in Christ. When we as believers don't show the love of Christ, we are experientially living just like the unbeliever, in death, abiding in the devil. The old nature. When we put down the new nature of righteousness, of love, and pick up the old, y'all, we look exactly like the unbeliever. When we're spewing hatred out of our mouths, we are acting just like the unbeliever. Verse 15 here reinforces the dramatic contrast between loving your brother and hating. In this case, it's the equivalent of murder. No murderer can have eternal life abiding in him. For clarification, this does not say does not have eternal life. It says eternal life abiding in him, living our lives abiding in Christ. Because remember, David was a murderer. This is not talking about loss of salvation. Thank you, Kit, again. This is talking, we know and we live by in the hope and the knowledge of eternal security. This is talking about no murderer, no one who is spewing hatred out of their mouth can have eternal life abiding in them. We are not abiding in Christ when we are spewing hatred. This is emphasizing that a believer walking in the light, abiding in Christ, cannot hate our brother. We are to love one another as Christ loved us. When we find ourselves spewing hatred in our mind or out loud, it's not just spewing hatred that comes out of our mouth, because where does it start when it comes out of our mouth? It comes from the mind. When we are spewing hatred out of our mind or out of our mouth, we need to check ourselves. Are we walking in the light? Are we filled with the Spirit? Are we trusting that God has things under control? This is one of those socially acceptable sins that we were speaking of earlier. You know, it blows my mind that it's socially acceptable to hate people so much. But that's the culture we live in today. It's okay today to hate anyone who does not agree with you. Have you all noticed, when was the last time anybody had a conversation with somebody where you completely disagreed and you were just able to have a wonderful, enjoyable fellowship conversation and recognize each other's differences of opinion? That is awesome. We will not ask what that was about. It's about poinsettias. But what happened to that? Where does that? You can't even see that in the church anymore. I'm not talking about the whole church, y'all. This is, I don't want to be stereotypical that nobody in the church loves anybody else anymore. But there is so much hatred, and it's just become so culturally acceptable to spew hate. And let's, as we go back here, let's remember this whole epistle is about intimate fellowship with God. We cannot have intimate fellowship with God while we hate someone. It is not okay with God. We are to recognize it and turn back to Him and trust Him. 1 John 3:16, we know love by this. They lay down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But whoever has worldly goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God remain in him? Little children, let's not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. Again, John likes to have these dramatic contrasts. He's gone from murder and hatred of a fellow believer. Now John lays out the ultimate example of love. Instead of taking life, even when justified, Christ laid His life down for us. And we are to lay our lives down for our brethren. We may never be in a position to physically lay down our life for another, such as jumping in front of a bullet or running into a burning building and pull somebody out. That may never happen for us. And that's okay. I don't think anybody's in a hurry to jump in front of a bullet, but many have. But when we are abiding in God's love, we cannot turn a blind eye to the needs of another believer. How can we have so much and not be compassionate and have affection for our believers, I mean our brothers in Christ? We are not to just love with our words, but with our deeds. Spiritual love is not passive, and it is not just financial. All the blessings we've received from God are for His church. Everything God has given us is for the church. It's for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's for Christ. Our spiritual gifts, our physical gifts, our financial blessings, they are all for the church. God gives us everything, and everything He gives us is for us to bless others. We are to be ready to give everything back to Him as led by the Spirit in love. What does it say about our faith when we come to the place that everything we have, the skills, the money, the gifts, the time, we give them all back to Him, and it's our pleasure to do it? What's that say about our faith? 1 John 3:19. We know by this that we are of the truth, and will set our hearts at ease before Him, that if our heart condemns us, that God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. we will know this. What he's saying here is we will know by this the deeds of love shown to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our deeds and our actions is what he's referring to, that demonstrate our love, that we are of truth. When we are showing love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, we can know that experientially we are living in truth. We are living in Christ because Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We will not be perfect. There is no one perfect except Christ. We will not be perfect at showing love, and we will miss opportunities, but God knows our heart. We will not be perfect at loving one another, but we can have hope that when we are living a life filled with the Spirit, manifesting in love, that even though we are not perfect, God knows our heart. We may miss opportunities. We may fly by something and not see it, but God knows. 1 John 3:21, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the right things that are pleasing in His sight. Since our heart does not condemn us, and it shouldn't, when we are seeking to abide in Him and love one another, then whatever we ask for from God, we will receive. He's shifting, moving to our prayer life, our intimate conversations with God, our prayer. It implies as believers we are going to God in prayer, and we should be all the time. You know, it's interesting, he didn't put a big banner sign and says, okay, now let's talk about prayer. It's just kind of assumed that if we're abiding in Christ, abiding in God, we are talking to God. It's really hard to abide when we don't have any conversations with Him, when we're not listening, when we're not paying attention, when we're not speaking to Him. So this is moving into our prayer life. We should be praying all the time. Pray continuously. Are we abiding in Christ, walking in the light, if we don't ever to go to Him in prayer? If we never go to the Father, if we never spend any time talking to God, are we really walking in the light? He's talking about obedience in faith, walking in the Spirit. When we are abiding in Him, our prayers will be in alignment with God's will. I had this conversation with one of our sons not too long ago. Why do we need to pray if our prayers should be, God, Your will be done, and He already knows what His will is, then why should we be praying? And I said, well, it's not so God feels good about God's will. That's not it at all. It's the conversation that when we are praying to God about His will and recognizing His will and surrendering our will to His will, and then His will plays out, how amazing is that to us? It's not prayer. God doesn't need us to talk to Him. He wants us to talk to Him. We need to talk to Him. God answers our prayer when we are in alignment with His will. And that means the answer will always be yes. When we are perfect aligned, abiding in Him with His will, and we are requesting that His will be done, His will is going to be done. The answer to our prayer is yes. Now that does not mean we never pray outside of His will. Because I guarantee you, even when we're filled with the Spirit, there are times when our will is like, hey God, this is the desires of my heart. And the answer may be no. But as we become more and more aligned with His will, the answers are yes and yes and yes. 1 John 3:23, this is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments remain in Him, and He in him. We know by this that He remains in us, by the Spirit whom He has given us. So John begins to pull it all together here. When we are led by the Spirit, abiding in the Lord, which includes active participation in demonstrating love to one another, we can stand confidently before God, knowing that we are seeking His will. Our prayers, being aligned with His will, shall be answered. He also introduces the additional point of when we are abiding in God, He abides in us. We'd looked at this for a bit when we were talking about the analogy of abiding in the vine in John 15 when we took a look at that. And so we can know that God abides in us by the impact of the Spirit on our lives, the production of fruit, more fruit, much fruit. The Spirit is what produces the faith and love commanded in verse 23. The Spirit of God abiding in us produces. This is the indwelling and the filling of the Spirit. The fruit produced in the believer's life is the manifestation of the work of the Spirit in the believer. It is the manifestation of abiding in Christ. It is the manifestation of walking in the light. It is the manifestation of God abiding in us. All believers are indwelt by the Spirit. That's one of the gifts at salvation. But the Spirit abiding in us is the filling of the Spirit. This is the first explicit mention of the Holy Spirit in 1 John. Now, I know if you've studied John, he mentions a lot there. This is the first time in 1 John. The Spirit is the Spirit of faith and love, both required in God's commands. Believe in Christ and love one another. And so that's kind of the midpoint of his conversation, of his teaching with regards to loving one another. And then we move into chapter 4. And he continues from there. And so moving into chapter 4, hold on for a second. Okay, 1 John 4, 1 through 3. We'll read that real quick. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and now is already in the world. The spirit of the Antichrist. So, as he introduces the Spirit indwelling us, the Spirit abiding in us, the Spirit of God must be distinguished from other spirits, false prophets. Many false spirits or false prophets are in the world. We have to be discerning through prayer, through filling of the Spirit, and wisdom. In this case, John has been warning about false prophets claiming that Jesus was not man and God, the incarnate Christ. That was one of the false teachings that was going on. But there are many false prophets, some more subtle than others. And so our role in this, with the help of God, is to discern these prophets, is to understand who is teaching the truth and who is not. In this case, it's awesome. We know where to go. This is true. The Bible is true. But how do we discern true from false? They proclaim Christ. One, that He is God, that He is man, that He died for our sins, and that we are to be saved by Him, not by our own works. They proclaim the truth of the gospel. If a teacher does not proclaim the doctrine of election and predestination exactly the way that we understand it, and I pick those because every time we have a retreat with our high schoolers, our college kids, they always, like 5 minutes in, dive into election and predestination because they know that there's going to be this debate that's going to continue, and they just love to debate. They are seeking truth as well, so it's not just about debate. But I pick these because if a teacher does not proclaim the doctrine of election and predestination exactly the way we understand it, the exact way that Herman Maddox has taught it for 45 years. I don't know when he first started teaching. If they don't understand it exactly the way that we understand it, does that make them a false prophet? What about the end times? Or the age of the earth? Do those things make them a false prophet? I guess you might have to go back to, are they teaching the gospel? Are they teaching the truth of the gospel? There's things that we can discuss amongst theologians and scholars and understand these things about God. But be careful about proclaiming somebody to be a false prophet if they're teaching the gospel. It's like Kit was talking about last week, which we've talked about so many times, with the comparison of counterfeit money. We are to look for the truth. And when we understand the truth, and in this case, the truth of the gospel, then we can discern the false prophets. John is also teaching us to evaluate false teachers by their message and not by their works. A false teacher may speak of signs and wonders, and they may come, and some of these may come true. But is the message of the teacher that must be discerned? Are they proclaiming the truth of Christ? Can you see the Spirit of God teaching through them? So we need to understand and discern false prophets. The indwelling of the Spirit and the filling of the Spirit requires us to understand who the Spirit is. 1 John 4:4. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he that is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, false prophets, and the world listens to them. We are from God. The one who knows God listens to us. He's talking about the apostles. He's talking about the scriptures, and he's talking about the scriptures as put down through the apostles. We are from God. The one who knows God listens to us. The one who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. As children of God, we have overcome the spirit of the Antichrist. And as such, the Spirit of God who indwells us is greater than the spirit of the false teachers in this world. The Spirit of God is greater than Satan, his agents, and his influence. We resist the temptation to doubt, deny, or disregard God's word by listening to the Spirit. When we find ourselves doubting or disregarding, it's time to check ourselves and go back to the trusting in the Spirit. The world, not knowing God, listens to false teachers because they speak from the position of the world. And man, today it is, the more that we study and learn and abide in Christ, and the more that the false teaching of this world, the worldly views, just become like, they're crazy. They're nuts. When we understand the truth, everything else is just seems crazy. How true is it, these false teaching of the world today? How many genders does the world proclaim that there are today? It's crazy. But to the world, that makes total sense. Have you ever... I feel for these people that are sitting and going, yeah, there's like seven genders. Where are you coming from? They're coming from the world. We just had a state in the U.S. that rejected a law that requires a physician to provide assistance to an aborted child that lived through childbirth. My friends, you may argue that life is instilled in the child at birth and justify abortion. But there is no argument that a child that survives childbirth is alive and thus should be rendered treatment. It's not required. This is okay to the world. We as believers, this should baffle our minds. And I'm not on a social justice cause right now. I'm just saying that the world looks at things totally different than us. Why do they hate us? Because they don't get it. Why are we called to love them? Because we should feel sorry for them. We should want them to come to know the truth. We as believers are to discern the truth by the Spirit of God and not listen to the teachings and philosophies of the world. We are to listen to the Word of God as given to us by the apostles, the completed canon of the Scripture. When we have a bunch of prophets that come running around adding stuff to the Scriptures, we should definitely stop and pause and go back in prayer to make sure we know what's going on. And now moving into verse 7, and this goes on through verse 16, I think. Hold on for a second. Yes. We're all familiar with Paul's great passage on God's love from 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind. It's read at like every marriage, I mean every wedding ceremony, which is awesome. That's Paul's. This is John's. And so I'm going to read verse 7 through 16, and then we'll talk about it. We'll break it down a little bit. But I want to hear the whole message. 1 John 4:17, Beloved, let's love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. By this the love of God was revealed in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we may live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we remain in him, and he in us, because he has given to us his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. So breaking this down just a little bit, we'll go back to 1 John 4:7. 4:7 and 8. Beloved, let's love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. He's been talking about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding false teachers and the truth of the Spirit. And he's now talking about, and he's talking about love. Faith and love both come from the Spirit of God indwelling in us. The conviction of the Spirit to salvation, and then the indwelling and filling of the Spirit experientially in our lives. John already covered that we are to love one another, and now he is showing that the only way we can do this is by the work of God himself. Anytime we try to love somebody else in our own power, man, we mess it all up. We mess it all up. Spiritual love can only come from God, which means it can only be seen in the believer abiding in God, walking in the Spirit. The love for one another that God calls us to do, God commands us to do, comes from abiding in God, walking in the Spirit. In 1 John 4:9, by this that the love of God was revealed in us, that God has sent his only Son into the world so that we may live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If we want to know what God is, we only have to look at the saving work of Christ on the cross. This wasn't a responding love, that when we loved him, he would love us. This was a love that took the initiative. This was an unconditional love. In fact, Christ died for us while we were still his enemies. If Christ can sacrifice everything for us while we are his enemies, we should love our brothers and sisters in Christ, the children of God, even when we don't like them. God's love demonstrated in Christ is the model for God's love demonstrated in Christ is the model for the believer towards one another. It's the love that we should share for one another. It takes the initiative. It is not conditional. The condition is that we are abiding in Christ. 1 John 4:12, no one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us. And His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we reign in Him and He in us, because He has given to us His Spirit. In His full divine nature and essence, God has never been seen by man. But when we are abiding in Him, loving one another, His love is perfected in us. We can see God manifested in the mutual love that believers abiding in God have for one another. The fruit produced by the Spirit in perfected love is evidence of the believer abiding in God and God abiding in him. God gives us the Spirit who gives us faith and love. In the church, the love that we have for one another, seeing believers who are abiding in Christ, loving one another, that perfect love of God is manifested. It's seen. It can be seen on earth, the love that God has. But it takes us abiding in Him. It takes the fruit and much fruit being produced through us by the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:14, we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And I just have a couple more minutes, so I'm going to finish this, and then we will pick up next week. See, I can't, it doesn't matter. I can't get through nearly as much as I ever want to. I only have two more pages, but I'm not going to do that today, because it's 1 John 4:14. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The abiding believer in community with other believers can see the love of God, the perfected love of one from one another. This is the same love that the apostles witnessed when physically walking with Christ. This is a witness that the God of love sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Our walking with God, loving one another through the power of the Spirit, is a witness to the truth of the gospel. It is every bit as much of a witness as the words that come out of our mouth. We will close there. I would like to just remind everybody we are having the Veterans Day event today. We love to celebrate veterans, those that were willing to serve and, if necessary, give up their lives. But y'all, Christ gave up His life for all of us. And we are to love one another with that same love, abiding in God, walking in the Spirit, loving one another. It's not just male bravado jumping on a grenade. I'm not taking away from the veterans and those that have given their life. But we are called to a higher calling. We are called to spiritual love. We are called to reflect Christ in the world. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your command to love one another. And we thank You for Your Spirit that allows us to be able to meet that command. Father, the only way that we can love one another is when we're walking in You, when we're walking in the Spirit, when You produce that love, the fruit of Your Spirit, through us. So we thank You for requiring it. We thank You for giving us the ability to meet it through Your Spirit. And we ask, Father, as we go through today, celebrating our veterans, so many who have given up so much for the freedom that we have here, Father, in this country, we pray, Father, that You will remind us every minute of every day the sacrifice that Your Son made so that we can walk in freedom spiritually and we can walk in love for one another because of what He did for us. Father, we thank You for all that You are, all that You do. We do lift up Herman and Judith and all those in our church that are sick or away, or Father, we just continue to pray for everybody, all the brothers and sisters in Christ, that they may continue to be pulled back to You and walk in Your Spirit. In Christ's name, amen.